Hey, toy family! Welcome to the Marsham Toy Hour, where we discuss anything and everything designer toys. I'm your host, Gary Ham.
I'm George Gaspar.
George, you've been on the show, like, you've really picked up the slack where Aaron and Tyler, when Tyler jumped off. So I really appreciate you jumping in. I don't know if the show would have continued without you helping me out.
Oh, no worries. I like being here, so thanks for having me on.
So what can we rename it? I don't know that it's the Marsham Toy Hour anymore.
We're not, there's no, you can't put gas and ham together, so let's just keep it at Marsham.
The Ham Gas Podcast is not a good name.
No, let's just keep the Marsham. It's already in there.
All right, we'll leave it. So I just want to say that the Marsham Toy Hour is sponsored by Strange Cat Toys. So for all your designer toy needs, head on over to strangecattoys.com and be sure to use Marsham at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Okay, so I mentioned that we have a guest today. Our guest is pretty well known for her beautiful paint style that she's applied to many different platforms, mostly being Sofubi. And she's also in the production game, having done her cute Kitsura design for Max Toy Company, and she also has a couple gotcha series with Toy Art Gallery, and her more recently, I'm going to botch this up, her Bake Kijira, I should just say Ghost Wheel, which has been hugely successful and highly sought after. Let's welcome Candy Bolton.
Hey, that's pretty good. You did a lot better with the pronunciation this time.
Bake, well, why don't you say it so everyone knows how it really is pronounced?
It's Bake Kijira.
See, you make it sound so much better than I do. I just butcher it. So your name is really cool, too. Is that your birth name?
My birth name is Candice Bolton. I just go by Candy for short.
Yeah, no, Candy's cool. And for anyone who's not familiar with her, it's Candy with an I-E at the end. So if you want to search her and Candy Bolton on Instagram.
Do you have a website, too, just so we can get that out at the beginning, just so people can look it up while they're listening?
Yeah, it's just my name. It's Candy with an I-E, BOLTON.com.
Yeah, and we'll talk later about your YouTube channel that you have. You haven't updated it in a while. I'm going to have to give you a hard time about that because you've got a lot of subscribers and you're letting them down by not keeping that updated.
I know. Yeah, I'm camera shy, so like I keep putting it off because I'm just like, I don't feel like recording myself.
Well, you fooled me. You seem like you're pretty comfortable in front of the camera. So Candy, before we get into talking to you, usually we have a segment at the beginning of the show called Leaks and Sneak Peeks. For any new listeners, what this is a segment we talk about anything that we might have seen on social media this week or just anything that we want to let the listeners know about. Candy, did you come prepared with anything you'd like to share?
Yeah, so both of these things, I saw them at Taipei Toy Festival. And the first one I want to mention is Inu Harigon, and that's by my friend Teresa Chiba. And so she's a Japanese artist, and you might remember her toy design, Kibunadon. It was produced by Max Toy. So Inu Harigon is like her first self-produced toy, and it's based on Japanese folk art, just like her Kibunadon toy, and sculpted by PP Pudding. He does really good joints, like it moves really great, like it's an actual toy that you can play with. But it's basically like a little dog creature from Japanese folk art. It's super cute, and it did really well at Taipei Toy Festival. She had two colorways there, and they both sold out. And I actually posted it on my Instagram, along with a few other things I picked up while I was there. And I got so many questions about it, so I figured I should talk about it on here. And also mention that she's going to be at DesignerCon, and I'm pretty sure she's going to have a new colorway available there.
Oh, very cool. Would you mind saying her name one more time?
Teresa Chiba. So it looks like it's spelled like Teresa, but the Japanese pronunciation is Teresa.
I like the way that so far you've already pronounced a bunch of Japanese words. It'd be nice to have you like come on the show and you can just say all the words that George and I don't know how to pronounce. They sound so much
just
better coming
voice
from
you. Over it. I'm sure my pronunciation isn't that great. It probably has like a American accent on it, but I at least I studied a little bit of Japanese, so I try to pronounce it correctly.
Yeah, I can tell that you've at least been over there long enough to either know how to say things or you're just really convincing.
That's good. Yeah, and well, the other toy that I wanted to mention, there was another toy that I found out about at Taipei Toy Festival, and it's Joby the Moon Fox by OK Luna Toys. I think it's brand new. It's Sofubi. And I should have mentioned the last one, Inu Harigon, is also Sofubi. But Joby, it's this cute little Sofubi fox who's standing upright, and he's got like a really big head, and he's just super cute. But it did really well at Taipei Toy Festival. It's super hard to get. And the makers, I had a chance to meet them, and they're so nice. And they actually gave me one of their toys and gave me a clear vinyl one to paint, too. Nice. So I had never heard about it before. I just found it there, and I think it's a really cool toy.
So far, you've mentioned you brought an upright dog and an upright fox. Is everything at Taipei Toy Festival an animal standing upright?
Yeah. Well, those are all my favorites. I really like animals, so yeah. I gravitate towards those ones, and I especially like foxes.
Yeah. Well, we definitely want to talk to you about your experience and travels over in Taipei, so we'll jump into that after Leaks and Sneak Peeks here.
Okay.
George, what'd you come with?
I actually was super busy working this week, so I didn't get a chance to look anything up. So while we were talking in the beginning, I went to SpankyStokes.com and just scrolled down the page until I saw something that was pretty amazing. It's that the Clairvoyant 8-inch Dunny from Kid Robot and Jeru. Have you seen that piece yet?
I have not seen it. No, this is news to me.
It's from the Arcane Divination Dunny series, the one that he was doing. And this is one of the 8-inch versions of one of them, I guess.
Okay.
And it's a bone white, like, it looks like weathered bone. And it's got a big old skull right in the middle of its face. And there's like a skull with a flower around it and the third eye on the belly, and then all the filigree that Jeru does.
That thing looks amazing.
Really cool. Yeah. So I'd like to take a look at that some more and find out about that.
Yeah, that's gorgeous.
It looks like it's at Strange Cat Toys right now for $100. I'll pre-order it for $100 a pop.
Yeah,
so $100 for an 8-inch, that's about right, right?
No, that sounds expensive.
It comes with a 3-inch, comes with a bonus 3-inch. Does that help?
There you go. That justifies the price right there. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I was thinking that seemed pretty affordable.
So, yeah, my internet's not uploading the picture, but yeah, it's 500 pieces, $100 a pop. Comes with a 3-inch Dunny. Sweet. I had no idea. Nice find in such a short period of time there, George.
I'm glad I can bring that because that thing is pretty rad. I'm going to have to see about ordering one.
Well, I'm going to bring something really rad, too. Today, Unboxes revealed that they teamed up with Taiwanese designer Jubi Yang. I'm going to have you guys spell this. J-U-B-I. Last name Yang, Y-A-N-G. And that's his Instagram account. If you want to see photos of what I'm about to talk about, check him out. But he's Unbox and Jubi are going to bring his gigantic crab kaiju to life. And this thing looks pretty awesome, man. It's a badass crustacean. And this is actually the second time I've mentioned a crustacean on the Leaks and Sneak Peeks here. So this piece is actually approximately 6 inches tall and...
Wow.
It looks pretty articulated, really detailed, beautiful sculpt. No word on price yet, but it's looking to release in December. So Unbox is really good about kind of sneaking in these things.
Yeah, they've been doing some really amazing stuff lately.
They are. And what's cool about them, too, is they're working with a lot of artists that aren't necessarily known or established in what we call the designer toy scene. Like, they're just kind of just doing completely new and unexpected things. And I think that's really cool.
Wow, that sculpt is really cool. I really hope, though, that they put those arms down or forward. They're not going to keep them out like that, are they?
No, from what I read, those arms are, like, super articulated.
Okay,
probably
good.
Probably a ball joint, and the claws can probably open, and everything can rotate. Hopefully, that's the case.
As long as it doesn't stay outstretched like that, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, it's really smart to do that with a crustacean design because it's like the way Sofubi is, the jointing would work really well with that.
Yeah, that's gonna, nice. That's going to be cool. All right, Candy, so you mentioned that you went to Taipei Toy Fest. Why don't you tell us about that a little bit?
All right.
What made you go to Taipei? Were you invited there, or did you just decide to go there on your own?
Yeah. Well, my first toy convention I attended ever was DesignerCon last year. And while I was there, Toma really wanted to talk to me. And he invited me to go to Taipei Toy Festival with him and a few other Japanese artists. And so I had to think about it for a really long time because I'd never been to Taiwan before. And I don't usually go out to like toy conventions and stuff, but I was able to make it and I'm really glad I did it. And I hope I can go back to the next one too. It was awesome.
And you actually exhibited there, correct?
Yeah. So what Toma did is that he had three booths and he set it up so that he had, I think maybe like 10 or more artists there. And so we would have our own showcase and it was just like, you know, a glass like box. And then you'd set up all your toys in there. And they even had people that were that could speak like three different languages, like working the register. So I didn't have to deal with any like communication, like translation problems or anything. Yeah, it was really convenient. And I also didn't have to be at the booth the whole time because they were selling everything there. Yeah, and that was like the best way to go because I was kind of unprepared like for the showcase and I didn't realize how much work goes into just like presenting your toys. Like I figured like just paint them and make them, bring them and then sell them. But like a lot of people put so much effort into their booths. Like they looked really good. I didn't see anyone who just had a table and a banner. They all had something really fancy and like eye-catching. And some people even had like their toys set up on little platforms with mirrors and they were rotating and there were lights and everything. And I just had my toys just sitting there with like a printed out price tag.
You went American style on that one. You just show up with a tablecloth, put your stuff on the cloth, put your little number and your little price tag next to it, and you're good to go, right?
Yeah, they got really extravagant with everything. So it made me realize that if I did actually have my own booth, like I would have to put some effort into that display.
I've actually noticed that a couple of these of the Asian conventions, like the booth setups are beautiful. A lot of them have like giant printed cutouts of their of their work, or they all have, well, not all of them, but a lot of them have like at least one giant fiberglass sculpt of one of their more popular characters displayed. But yeah, no, so I kind of know what you're saying. I think it would be pretty intimidating to show up, and especially being that you're traveling there by flight, like you're probably not going to be able to have the ability to bring like everything that you want to have this incredible booth set up. But I wouldn't let that, you know, hold you back from wanting to attend any conventions over there in the future.
Yeah, I know. I was just wondering about like the logistics of it. Like, how do you bring all of that stuff over? It would be pretty difficult.
Yeah, I think the thing to do would probably just to find a good contact over there who can handle any of that stuff for you. And then you could just show up and display it. And you just bring your goods.
Yeah, that would be ideal.
And you had mentioned that they had someone work in the cash register that worked spoke three different languages. Was there an overall language barrier that made it tough to communicate with your fans?
No, actually, I got by with English the whole time. I didn't learn any Chinese or anything. And that worked out perfectly fine. A lot of people spoke some English. There were some people that only spoke Japanese. Like I said, I went there with a bunch of Japanese artists, so they were able to communicate with them. And my friend Teresa, actually, she speaks Japanese and English, so she would help out with that too. So I was like the only person who spoke just one language, basically.
Okay. I noticed that Nathan Hamill was there too. Does he only speak one language?
No. So Nathan and Shane, actually, we were like, and me, we were like the three English talkers.
Well, sounds like you had a good time. I hear it's really hot and humid there.
I've never experienced humidity like that before.
Is it like that in the convention hall as well, or is it just when you're outdoors?
It's in the convention hall too. It's pretty bad.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, you're just constantly sweating the whole time that you're there.
Well, that's good for photos. You always have like a nice little sheen on your skin when you take photos, right?
No, it looks terrible. Yeah, so hair looked awful the whole time.
How big is the show compared to like DesignerCon?
I think it's a smaller space overall, but there were a lot of people there, like attending. I mean, like, you know, there to buy stuff. And on the first day, there was a huge line. It went like blocks around the corner. I couldn't even see where it started. I heard that that very first day, a bunch of people just lined up and like formed their own line. But then actually people organizing the event decided like, oh, this isn't where our line goes. The line, the real line's over here. And then everyone rushed over there. And some guy actually ended up breaking his leg trying to get into the correct line.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there was like an ambulance there. I didn't see it, but that's just what I heard.
See, George, we need to get DesignerCon to have a cool story like that. I haven't heard of any injuries happening at DesignerCon.
You don't want injuries at your show. We've had they have had lines out the around the block before, even in the rain. So I mean, that's the lines happen. But yeah, I've never heard anybody getting hurt. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah, it was raining every day there too. I didn't think I would need an umbrella, but you definitely need one.
Yeah. So when you packed, did you look at the weather before you went, or did you just show up and you're like, oh man?
I looked at the weather and I was just disappointed by how hot it was, but I had no idea like what humidity was really like, because I've never truly experienced it like that.
Pretty miserable. So did your hotel room at least have some nice AC for you?
Yeah, we were blasting the AC the whole time.
There you go. That's the way to do it. Sweat all day and then get back to the room and just camp out in front of the air conditioning unit.
Exactly.
How was the cost comparable to the States in Taipei?
Like for the toys and merchandise?
Yeah.
Is it
comparable? Like just anything in general, like toys, food? Is it more expensive or pretty much comparable to what it is here?
Well, I never really got used to like the conversion rate. It was kind of strange. So my understanding of it was like 1,000 Taiwan dollars was about 30 US dollars. So like taxi rides were super cheap. So I just took a taxi everywhere. Food was pretty cheap too. And then the toys were like, so if a toy was 4,000, then I think that was around like $100. It was kind of hard to get used to that. But I think overall, like transportation, food, hotels, pretty cheap.
The conversion rates always crack me up when I see something's like 26,000 something or other. And you're like, oh, that's only like $80. No big deal.
I know. Yeah. And they call it dollars, too. So it confuses you.
Yeah. Have you been to Japan, right? Did you ever go to Wonderfest over there?
No, I haven't been to Wonder Festival yet, but I have been to Japan. I've been there 3 times now, okay. And I actually really want to attend Wonder Festival in February.
Nice. Oh, this is going to be the biggest question of the entire podcast, so everyone listen up. How was Godzilla Resurgence?
Well, for me, it was disappointing because 30 minutes in, there was this huge power outage. Everything went black. Everyone in the theater was super confused about what was going on during like a really important scene. And so we missed that whole scene, and then it came back on, but like the sound was weird and we were still trying to watch it anyways. And then the power went out again, and this happened like 4 times. And then we were like, okay, this is just ruining the movie for us, so we need to go. And yeah, we got free movie passes though, so we'll be back tomorrow to finish it hopefully. But from what I saw, I was like super into it. It looks great so far.
You know why that happened, don't you?
Why?
That's karma right there. Because what our listeners are going to find out is we were supposed to record the episode that night. Well, this wasn't a fault of yours, though. Originally, we had it scheduled for Wednesday night, the night that after you returned from Taipei. But then Aaron said, oh, I'm going to be flying. Can we move it to Thursday? So I'm like, okay. You know, I contacted you and see if we can move it to Thursday. And you're like, okay, I can do that. But I think what you probably didn't know is you already had plans to go see Godzilla. So then like Wednesday night, you texted me and you're like, can we move the time? Because I really want to go see Godzilla at 7:30. And that's why you had the bad movie experience.
I know. It all makes sense now.
Yep.
So it's Aaron's fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to blame Candy at all. It's all Aaron. Damn you.
And then he doesn't even show up.
Nope, he decided to go to Hawaii. No, actually, Aaron wanted to join, but I'm like, dude, like, you're in Hawaii. You don't get to go that often. And he's like, well, I don't have Wi-Fi. And I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. Go have fun. You know, enjoy this time with your wife and go enjoy the beach and stuff. You can talk to us yahoos later. Well, speaking of break, let's just take a moment to say that the Marsham Toy Hour is also sponsored by Prints on Wood, where you can buy limited edition fine art prints or print your own art on wood. And actually, the holidays are right around the corner, so if you were thinking about framing some of your art or even printing some of your photographs and giving it to a special someone in your life, why not head on over to PrintsOnWood.com and have your artwork or photographs printed on beautiful, sustainable wood. That would make a great gift. Again, check out PrintsOnWood.com.
So, Candy, how did you get started in this whole designer scene?
Well, I started as a collector. What really got me into it was Negora by Konatsu, and I just really wanted to start collecting those, so I did. And then I got really into Real Head, his little cats that he makes, and from there, I just kept collecting, and I was just kind of like drawing, but just sketching for fun. And then I got noticed on Instagram, first by Max Toyko. And so he offered to let me design a toy, and that's when I designed Kitsura. And then maybe like 6 months or so after that, then I got contacted by Toy Art Gallery to also design some toys. So it just kept going from there, basically.
That just doesn't happen. You got like super lucky, like for people to come find you on Instagram and all of a sudden you're designing two toys for two different companies. Like, that's pretty rare.
Yeah, I imagine.
What had you done for them to, for those companies to take notice? Was it mainly just painting a few of the Negoras and that's what caught their eye?
Yeah, I guess so. I started painting toys in, I think it was 2 years ago now. And I first started painting Negora, and I just kept doing it. It was fun. And, you know, the more toys I painted, and I kept posting them on social media, and then I'd get noticed by other people, and they're like, hey, paint my toy. And so, yeah, a lot of people just end up coming to me and asking to collaborate.
That's awesome. That's really cool that you got primarily noticed on social media. A lot of times people just have to go to conventions and network and stack. Okay, so we experienced some technical difficulties right there, but I thought it was pretty funny, so I left it in. You want to hear it again? Here we go. All right, enough of that. Let's get back to it. Where was I? Oh, and most people usually just have to go and stack up on, you know, contacts and whatnot. And then eventually, through some hobnobbing and whatnot, they can get a toy made. But they came right to you, and that's super awesome.
Yeah, it's really the best case scenario because I'm super shy, and it's hard for me to, like, actively, like, push someone to, like, collaborate with me.
Yeah, I'm totally there with you. I understand what it's like to be shy. I have a tough time going to conventions and networking, approaching people. So I totally get it. So what time frame was all this on? You started kind of breaking out around 2013, 2014-ish?
Yeah, I did my first gallery show ever December 2013. And then just kept doing more gallery shows and then started painting toys. Designed the toy for Max Toy, designed the Gacha series. I've actually designed two Gacha series for Toy Art Gallery. Yep. One of them's out. It's Night Parade. And then there's another one coming out. And the sculpts you can see on my Instagram, but it's like really far back now. They're supposed to come out soon. I'm hoping before DesignerCon, but I'm not certain about that.
So it's backwards, right? Your first series didn't end up coming out, but your second series came out first. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was weird. They ended up picking that other series first, but okay. It's all good.
That's why I was confused. I was going through your website, and I'm like, I have seen series two, and I love the canary yellow version. And then, you know, I kept scrolling, and then I saw your first Gacha series, but I'm like, how did I miss these? I don't remember seeing these come out yet. So that all makes sense now.
Yeah, I was really hoping those ones would come out first. So I just hope they come out soon. I'm really looking forward to it.
Do you do the sculpting too on these, or is this?
No. So the Gotcha series, both of those, and Bake Kujira, those were sculpted by Jorge McSwiney. His Instagram account is MacSorro. That's MacSorro. So yeah, he did the sculpting for it. I'm not a good sculptor, but I'm trying to learn how to get better at it.
Oh, these are cool. Really nice sculpts.
Yeah, he's great.
So let's talk about the Bake Kujira a little bit. So those have been really popular. I think you've done, what, 3 colorways, and they've all sold out. So congrats on that.
Thank you. It's been hard to keep them in stock.
And you're actually handling the manufacturing of that, right? Like, Toy Art Galler is producing it, but you're working with Lulubelle to manufacture it?
Yeah, it's actually co-produced by me and Toy Art Gallery. So the way it started out was, Toy Art Gallery asked me to design some toys. And so I just had this idea that I wanted to create a kaiju. And so I don't know if you want me to like go into like the whole concept of it right now.
Have at it. That's what people want to hear.
Okay, so all my toys are based on Japanese folklore because I was super into that when I was a teenager, and I did a lot of research on, like, I use fox characters a lot. Those are, like, really big in Japanese folklore. And when I wanted to make a kaiju, I thought, well, why not have some Japanese folklore influence into it? And so I was thinking about the origin of Godzilla, and his Japanese name is Gojira, and it's actually a combination of the word Kujira, and that's whale, and gorilla. So that's how I came up with Gojira. It's gorilla whale. And so I like the idea of, like, the original kaiju. He was supposed to be part whale, so I wanted to make a whale kaiju. And then I did some more research on Japanese folklore and discovered the creature Bake Kujira, and it's actually a phantom whale creature that is like the spirit of a whale that was killed by a human. And so it comes back as a spirit and it wants revenge. And I thought it kind of had like a similar feeling to it as Gojira, who is a kaiju that's basically, I mean, it kind of feels like he's like punishing humanity for like what they've done to the planet in a way.
Okay, yeah.
And then I just drew up my design of Bake Kujira, and I did look at some other interpretations of the creature, but I kind of mishmashed a bunch of different whale and marine animal features. That's why it has the unicorn horn, because it's like a narwhal.
Yep.
And a lot of people say it doesn't look like a whale, and that's fine because I totally see that because it's just weird and has like human hands and stuff. But yeah, so I had my design and I drew that up and I presented it to Toy Art Gallery, and Gino really liked it, but I could not convince him to do an 11-inch version. He wanted to do a 6-inch because I'm like this, you know, no-name artist. I'm like, hey, make this gigantic Sofubi toy for me.
Yeah.
And so, of course, he's like, no, that's way too much of an investment. And you can do a 6-inch instead. But I knew that if it was a 6-inch toy, you couldn't get all that same detail into it. So from there, I thought, well, I will try to self-produce it. And I already had the connection with Lulubelle, and I was interested in working with them. So I had my sculptor, MacSorro, work on the sculpt, and he got about halfway through it, and I was like, oh no, I'm out of money. And so I really wanted to finish the production. So I ended up going back to Toy Art Gallery and showing them my progress so far and saying, look, like, I know you want it to be a 6-inch and we disagreed about that, but like, here's the sculpt. It's halfway done. What do you think of it so far? And so they ended up picking it back up and we split the cost of the production, and I continued communication with Lulubelle. And yeah, the whole process took about a year before I actually saw the finished toy.
Okay. Yeah, that time frame sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really cool story. I like that you held your ground, you stuck to your guns, and you made it the size that you wanted it to be, the 11-inch size. Did you ensure it fits into an IKEA Nartorp display unit?
No, I didn't. I don't know. I think it does.
I think you're right in that safe zone, 11 inches. Yeah. I think you made the right choice, though, because it's 6-inch. your design is like it's kind of creepy and daunting, and it's a, such a strong presence that I think the larger size really benefits it.
Yeah, and I do want to make a 6-inch version of it, but I think it would have to be a different design, kind of like a different, like if it was like half formed or something.
You know what you need to, you know what you need to do? You go smaller, like 3 inches, and go cutesy with it.
Well, I do have the baby version of it. It's in the Yokai Gacha set.
I was going to mention that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cute, too.
Yeah, so that's supposed to be like a baby version, so it doesn't look scary. It doesn't have like a skull face or anything.
That's the way to do it. Cute's the way to go sometimes. I like it. So you mentioned that you're handling the, you're co-producing on it, and you've already sold out the first 3 colorways. How many more colorways do you think you anticipate, and are you going to be bumping up the production number size so more people can potentially obtain it?
Yeah, I've been slowly increasing the amount each time I order because I'm afraid of over-ordering, but I think so far everything's been good. If anything, there's been a shortage of them because I don't even end up keeping one for myself.
Oh, no. You got to keep one for yourself.
I know.
Well, that's cool. I'm gonna do it right now. You are the Marsham Toy Hour Breakthrough Artist of the Year.
I hope so.
No, you are. It's incredible that you just right out of the gate, just from a couple of companies seeing your work on Instagram. You got 2 Gacha series. You've done Kitsune through Max Kitsune. Toy.
Yeah.
So that's the fox with like 3 eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then now you've got the Bakke Kijira. That's awesome. I mean, that's a lot of work in a very short period of time. Not to mention,
yeah, in 2 years, that's a lot of stuff to do. And getting flown to Taipei, like, come on, that's a lot.
Yeah, and then let's go into the other one. The next one, Paul Kaiju, huge name in the Sofubi world. His stuff sells out like crazy. He's got lotteries. Anyone who wants a toy has to go through a lottery system, and yet. Here you come. All of a sudden, you're doing a micro run of 15 of his pieces. Which piece? It was the mock pilots. And those were gorgeous, Candy.
Oh, like, thank you.
So how did that come about? Like, his stuff is impossible to acquire. So did you collaborate with Paul on that project?
I actually met him at DesignerCon, and it was crazy because he actually knew me. I was super surprised. And he gave me a biter fish blank, and he said, let's collaborate on this piece. So I took it home and I painted it, and that was just like a one-off, but did it with his blessing and everything. And then after that, then he's like, okay, are you interested in doing a mini mock pilot run? So I was like, of course. Yeah, that's just how it happened. I painted the first one and showed it to him and asked him if he was okay with it. And he really liked it. And yeah, I hope that we can do more collaborations because I really admire him as an artist. And he's an amazing sculptor. And after like airbrushing a few of his toys, it made me realize that I think he really like sculpts things that are fun to airbrush. And I don't think many other artists do that because they're not like involved in the airbrushing part of the toy, but he is.
Okay, makes sense. I mean, that's awesome. Seriously, you are breakthrough. That's amazing that you've achieved all of this in just 2 year time, and the fact that Paul's wanting to work with you and all these companies, that's high praise right there.
Yeah, he's really fun to work with, and I hope that I can do more with him.
Okay, here's what this is a request. When you go out to you're going to DesignerCon next month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay,
so I want to see a photo of you and Paul together. But I want you wearing Paul's hat. See if you can pull that off.
Gross. I'm like too shy to even ask for like a selfie with him. We'll see.
Why is that gross?
Carrie, you'll have to gross, come out and George? Make the picture happen.
What's that, George?
You're gonna have to come out and make the picture happen.
Oh, why don't Yeah. Well, who wants to pay for me to come out?
It's a 6-hour drive, dude.
It's not the drive. It's not the drive that bothered me. It's the hotel fees.
Oh, I know. They really jacked up the prices this year, huh?
Airbnb.
Yeah. That's not big. Airbnbs are okay. It is a little awkward staying with somebody else. I did that for San Diego 1 year, and it's.
Well, you can get like the whole
excuse with you. Just get out here.
Yeah. So I've never talked to Paul, but I will make this happen, Canning.
Okay.
We're gonna get it done. I don't know. I don't know if you wear his hat. You probably don't want to wear his hat. I lost my train of thought, Candy. Oh, what you're saying about airbrushing the toys. One of my favorites from you, so the mock pilots that you did for Paul were gorgeous. But I think my favorite that you've done is the Poultry Rex that you did for Ron English.
Yeah, I just did that one.
That turned out awesome. I love how that turned out.
Thanks.
Because I wasn't necessarily really all into that sculpt until I saw your paint app. And then it's totally something I would buy. I couldn't afford it, but it's totally something I would have bought. If I had the funds.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So also, you and I have similar backgrounds. So you are a self-taught artist. Like me, you had some basic, art classes in high school and community college. But for the most part, you're pretty much self-taught. But the thing is, I read that you started painting only in 2014, and you work in oils and gouache, and you do inking and penciling. Your work is really good. And it's not easy to learn oils, that's for sure. What made you want to start painting, just only 2 years ago?
Well, it's funny because probably just, a couple months before my first art show, I was texting my mom, and I was like, I know this is, a really, crazy thing, and it'll probably never happen, but I really want to be in an art show someday and take my art seriously. Because before that, I was a graphic designer for 5 years, but it always felt very commercial and not very artistic, and so I just never ever thought that I could actually make money off of my art. And then I had when I was doing my graphic design, I was working for a hot rod shop, and they happened to be collaborating with this magazine that was also putting on an art show. So I thought, hey, why not just ask them and see if I can be in this art show? My first art show ever was the small art show in Ventura. That was December 2013, and I didn't know how to really paint then, so I just did some ink drawings. And what did I use? I wonder if I used gouache. I can't even remember now. But yeah, I mean, I did crafts, arts and crafts when I was a kid, but I didn't take it seriously at all.
Your work is beautiful. Kind of reminds me of Audrey Kawasaki, actually, a little bit, in the sense that you're working in oils and you got a real unique style about you. There's definite, I can see a lot of Japanese influence into your work. There's a lot of wispiness, and you do beautiful female art too. People are probably more familiar with maybe you're painting toys, but your paintings on wood they're gorgeous.
I really look up to Audrey Kawasaki and other female artists that do pop surrealism style. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I want to get better at that, and I want that to be my main focus, to be a great painter. But the toys are really fun and cool right now.
So is this a full-time thing for you, the toys right now?
Yeah, it's been a full-time thing for me for the past year now.
Nice.
And I don't know how I do it, but just every day I just get up and start painting, and I spend about 5 hours airbrushing almost every day. And now that I've started resin casting, now I'm also fitting that into my schedule. And then in the evening, I spend that doing hand painting and drawing and stuff like that. So that's my whole day now.
That's good. I mean, to be able to do this sort of stuff full time, it takes a lot of drive and motivation. And it sounds like you're self-motivating, so you're all set there.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like I have to do it now because, it's the only way that I can make an income. But yeah, I just really want to get better and learn new things and try new things. And yeah, it's just been a lot of fun so far. And it's even better that I can actually support myself on it. I never thought that would be possible. Never, ever, ever.
Yeah. Welcome to the art world.
Yeah.
They say it's a hustle and a grind, and Unfortunately, that's the case.
Good thing I don't have any kids.
Oh, God, don't. I got two kids, and let me tell you, it's a game changer.
I don't know how you do it.
And speaking of game changer, the March Amp Toy Hour is sponsored by 3D Retro. 3D Retro can scratch that designer toy itch by giving you a couple different options to purchase your favorite toys. You can visit the brick-and-mortar store located in Glendale, California, or head on over to 3DRetro.com. So I don't want to gloss over the fact that you just mentioned you had just started sculpting and resin casting. So you actually did your first sculpt and resin casting recently with your Kitsune Fox, right?
Yeah.
And so how did that go? Like, how was your first casting experience?
It was really scary at first. Because it was really like the equipment that scared me. I work with a compressor every day, but not like that kind of compressor. It was so loud, and I was like convinced that it was going to explode. Like, you know how when it fills up with air and you see the needle like rising up more and more, yep. And then it like gets into the red. Like, I didn't trust it that it would auto shut off. And so I'd like turn it off really quickly. But since then, I learned to get to know my compressor, got to know my pressure pot. I was also really scared of the pressure pot exploding. And I did a lot of research, and I talked to a bunch of friends who have been doing resin casting for a long time. Yeah, without their help, I wouldn't have known where to start because it's kind of intimidating.
Yeah, you can relate to all that, right, George?
Yeah, I definitely went through all that, for sure.
Pretty soon, like Georgia says, you'll be pouring you'll be tired one night, too much working, and you'll be pouring part A into part A.
I remember hearing that in one of your podcasts, and I was actually thinking of it when I was like pouring. I was like, oh no, don't forget.
Yeah. So are you looking forward to doing more? Do you see yourself pretty much doing small micro run castings that you do yourself?
Oh yeah. Like the night that I did my first casting, I was like, I kept waking up and I was like, oh my God, I could do this and I can do that. And like trying to think of all the different things I can do with it now.
Created a monster. It's going to be the year of resin casting for you.
I hope so. I need to get better at sculpting first though. And then my molds aren't great. I started out with a one part mold. So I need to do a two part mold. And then, yeah, there's just a ton of stuff I need to learn still. I'm just starting out.
You're way ahead of the game. I've never actually tried it, so I don't know what the heck you're talking about. So you started a YouTube channel, and so you've done three episodes. The first one did great. Everyone, yeah. I saw it posted everywhere. It was a beginner's tutorial about how to airbrush vinyl and toys, and that was great. And then you follow that up with a little Q&A on your experiences in the Sofubi and designer toy culture. Uh-huh. And another great episode. And then I don't remember what the third one was.
I was airbrushing the Boshi Neko.
Okay, yeah, there you go. And then, so you ended up getting like over 500 subscribers. I saw the, you know, you're getting around 2,000 views or something like that. But it's been 4 or 5 months since you made a new video. What's going on there? Do you plan on making more?
Yeah, I really do want to make more. I don't know. I need like a good place to film because I don't want a background that just like shows my house, and then I get like really anxious about filming myself. So it's all in my head, I guess. But I really do want to make more videos, and I should really take advantage of like all the subscribers that I have right now and keep them happy with more content. I feel bad about it. Like, I think about it every now and then. I'm just like, oh, I need to make a new video.
You said you're going full-time now. So instead of going to the YouTube channel, that's a free thing. Why don't you... Do you have a Patreon account?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, yeah. Why don't you just start making videos that are available only to your Patreon subscribers?
Yeah, I don't know if that would like, really draw more people in or not. Mm. I don't know. But, yeah, it might be worth a shot. Maybe.
But I like the idea of just, you know, your videos going out to everybody so everyone can see and learn from it versus just, you know, the paying folk.
Yeah.
But, well, exactly. I hope you do more videos. I think they're really helpful to a lot of people because I think painting vinyl is just a mystery to a lot of newcomers. And so be able to have a video and you're explaining that, you know, the V color needs to be mixed and, you know, and then versus monster color, you can just put it right in your airbrush and go. Like, that's a lot of good stuff and information for for, you know, the newcomer. So I think that was a great video for everybody. And I would encourage anyone who's looking to get into just now starting, you know, airbrushing vinyl, check out Candy Bolton's YouTube channel and just watch some of her videos. They're good. All right. Man, we covered a lot of ground. We're moving pretty fast.
Yeah.
George, do you have anything?
I'm just busy looking at the Instagram, looking at all the pretty pictures.
Yeah, that's been my whole life the past 2 years. It's kind of crazy to look back at all of it.
If you know Instagram, I'm an old man, so I'm the guy that's always behind a little bit on the technology. And so just today, I learned that there's this thing called Instagram Stories where you can click on a different section, not the feed, but a different section, and actually see, like, videos that people are posting.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how
you far, just learned that today?
Yes. How far behind the times am I? Is this a couple weeks or a couple months?
Has it been like a month now?
That's right. See?
Yeah, it's basically like Snapchat.
Yeah, as I heard, that's how the person described it. It's like, oh, they're kind of integrating a little bit of Snapchat in there. And I had seen the glowing things at the top of my Instagram feed, but I had clicked on them before, but I didn't realize they were stories. I just thought it was just kind of like a quick way to see maybe the few people that I tend to press like on the most or something. I didn't realize it was going more Snapchat-ish. So.
Yeah, it took me a while to figure it out, too.
I personally still ignore them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Are they new videos? Like, so they're not videos I'm going to see in someone's feed. Like, these are special, different videos, correct?
Yeah, it's something that's not in their feed and that disappears after 24 hours.
Okay, so they're going totally Snapchat with it. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's new to me. I don't know how much I'll use it, but at least I learned something today. Old man Gary, learning about the new technology.
So it could help, like, if you had a toy release that day, that you also, like, film a video of it and put it in your story, and then that will put your, like, little avatar thing, like, at the top of their screen so that they might be inclined to click on it and then also see that, you know, you're having a release, and then they'll see your, they'll go to your Instagram profile and then look at your other stuff.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna have to start paying attention to it.
So Candy, you're from Northern California, right? Is where you're born and raised?
Yeah. Right now I'm living pretty much within Sacramento, but I was born like in some really small city town, super small up in the hills. Nobody's ever heard of it.
So what was your, what got you into this, to the Japanese culture as deep as you seem to be into it now?
I think it was video games that really like originally got me into it, because I started playing like Sega Genesis when I was 5 or 6 years old, and I just happened to gravitate towards Japanese games. And then when I was like 10, like the internet became a thing, and then I found out about anime and manga and just all that stuff. I just instantly fell in love with it, and I just really like Japanese culture, like the traditional culture too. I just always found it interesting. Yeah.
Any follow up there, George? This is the real Marsham toy hour.
Okay.
And then I go back through and I kind of tighten up these awkward little spaces and whatnot. It's gonna sound
the behind Gary, the scenes.
Gary cuts out all the garbage silence and then makes us all sound smart at the end.
Yeah, he was telling me about that. I was really surprised because I listened to all of your episodes and I never once caught that. Like, it sounded so natural and professional.
We fooled you. So, yeah, no, I guess the cat's out of the bag. For the listeners, I do a little bit of editing every now and then just to make us sound a little less stupid. But as you guys know, I don't cut out everything. I say plenty of stupid things. Did I keep in just for you? You're welcome. All right, Candy. So we reached out on social media and asked some of our listeners if they had any questions for you. So you want to answer some listener questions?
Sure.
Oh, geez. Chris Reinach. You know, here's the thing. I posted on social media that Candy Bolton's going to be joining us. And if anyone has any questions for her, to just, you know, let them have us. Leave them in the comments below. And then Candy replied, like, oh, I'm already nervous, looking forward to it. And, of course, Chris is like, Chris, here's Chris Ryan at Candy Bolton. Nobody can screw up words more than Gary Ham. You'll do fine. And then another guy's like, please ask Candy to teach Gary how to pronounce Bake Kajira. Because, you know, I totally botched
You're
it.
You're doing
several.
Better.
Yeah, but I'm still not getting it right. Bake Kajira.
Kajira.
Kajira. Okay. George, you say it.
Nah, I'm good.
All right, so let's get to some listener questions. So we already kind of tackled the one question about the guy asking about Taipei and the language barrier and cost and whatnot. Yeah. So let's move on to the next one. What goes into deciding which paint to buy? Your colors are so vivid and pretty. Is there any special process to picking which ones you get?
So I'm assuming that he's talking about, like, my airbrushing stuff.
I guess. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So I mostly use V color and Monster color. Monster color is, like, whenever you see one that's, like, super glossy and sparkly, I usually use Monster color on that. But, like, for airbrushing in general, I've kind of come up with this philosophy that, like, I'm just trying to get as many different, like, color blends in as possible, because I think color blending is, like, the coolest looking part of airbrushing. So the easiest way to do that is to use the primary colors, so blue, yellow, and red. And instead of red, I'll usually use pink. And then it's always, like, a combination of those three colors generally on all of my toys.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes I'll deviate from that, but that's why they usually end up having, like, rainbow and, like, vivid-looking color schemes to them. See, and, like, for the poultry wrecks, that's, like, what I'm talking about with, like, the primary colors, because it was yellow vinyl. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, if you put pink on that, it'll blend to orange, and also you can blend the pink with blue and get purple. Nice. So it was just me trying to utilize all the colors, like, the most colors with the with the smallest amount of sprays.
Right. No, that's cool. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's another question. Are there any plans for collaborations with artists in the near future that you can tell us about? If not, which artist would you hope to work with one day?
Well, I have a lot of collaborations in the works. A bunch of stuff that's, like, people sending me their toys to paint. I have, like, boxes of toys right now that I need to work on. So I can mention a few of those, like Gumon, Toys Bien, Awesome Toy, Planet 3 Toys. Those are ones, oh, and Miscreation Toys. Those are ones that should be coming up in the relatively near future. And then I have collaborations that are, like, designing toys with other people. And one of them that I just started on, so I don't even know if it's worth mentioning, but Rato Kim, she makes Bread Cat. It's this really cute resin toy. It looks like a loaf of bread, but it's a cat.
Yeah.
She's a South Korean artist, and I met her at Taipei Toy Festival, and she was really cute and super nice. And we want to design a toy together, and she just sent me, like, her first sketch. And so now I'm going to, like, do, like, my own spin on it, and we're going to keep going back and forth like that for now. But I also have a collaboration in the works with Mori-san from Realhead. And that's probably going to be, like, I don't even know when that's going to happen, but I'm working on it. Then I also want to work on something with Tolma for, like, designing toys together.
Okay.
So we've talked about it, but that's it. And then Silent Stage, who just did that really crazy resin piece.
Is that the Crayola piece?
Yeah, he made that, and he wants to do a collaboration, have it out in time for Decon, so we're trying to make that happen.
And that's a pretty long list. This is just the stuff you're willing to share with us.
Yeah, and probably some of those, like, it's going to take so long before anyone, like, sees anything about it. I don't even know if I should have mentioned some of them, but they are in the works.
Well, collaborations have a way to do that sometimes. Sometimes a collaboration starts and something happens and other projects come ahead of it. And, you know, it happens. But those all sound really cool.
Yeah.
And you did a wood collaboration too, didn't you?
Yeah. So that one I designed, and then I had a woodworker make it for me.
Turned out nice. I liked it. It was cool.
Thanks. I'm trying to think of a way to turn it into a resin piece so it's a lot easier to reproduce, because the woodworking, I'm sure you know, it's very time consuming.
You have to make every piece unique. Yeah. I haven't been smart enough to actually start resin casting, because if I did, that would save me god loads of time. Is that a word? God loads? Did I just say god loads? That's a new Gary word. God, I need to learn how to talk. all right, so our next question. Are you a kaiju tokusatsu film fan as well? What is that? Tokusatsu. I'm hoping that you know what that is.
I don't. Is that like
I don't know. This is like Godzilla movies, maybe? Are you a fan of just like kaiju film in general?
I'm not super into them. I like them. I just haven't like delved into it yet. Mm-hmm. I have watched all the Godzilla movies, so I mean, aside from the newest one, because it was ruined.
Karma. All right, Kaney, it's time to do a quick round of lightning questions with you.
Okay.
What this is, we're just gonna hit you with a burst of questions. Try to answer them as fast as you can, and just have at it. You know, we don't usually go too much into discussion on these, so it's just a fun, quick thing. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. What was your favorite toy as a child?
So when I was like 5 years old, I think, my two favorite toys was this giant T-Rex toy and then this great white shark that had like blood on its teeth. I think I got it from SeaWorld, but those are my two favorite toys. And like my mom was concerned that they would have a bad influence on me.
And how young?
You probably like 5. Like I remember still being in a stroller, so I don't know how young that would be.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, no one says that, you know, there's, you know, today there's, you know, they're trying to say there's gender specific toys, but no, yeah. If you want to be a 5-year-old girl and be into bloodied shark teeth toys and T-Rexes, that's awesome. I support that.
Yeah.
What was your first designer toy purchase?
I think it was Nagora.
Yeah, I think you said that in the beginning.
Yeah.
I should quiz myself on these and see if I know the answers. So what toy made you want to get into making toys?
Nagora.
Ah, I knew it. What is the toy that never leaves your shelf? Move after move, it's always out.
I don't want to say the same one. So
Nagora!
I'll
just
have to,
yeah.
I'll have to say it's my Kitsura series, because I will hold on to those like for the rest of my life.
Okay, George, what I'm starting to realize about this question, so we've asked Scott, Ben, and now Candy, this question brings out it's always their own stuff. It's never like someone else's work that's always out and on display. It's always,
well, you know what it is, where you're asking a creator. So the, like when you create something, sometimes the first thing you create and you see and you get to hold it in your hands, that's a great experience. So maybe like, maybe that has a lot to do with it. And maybe it would be a different thing if you were asking just like a collector or a fan.
Yeah.
But I mean, sometimes the thing you make is the thing that's most precious to you.
Yeah. It's like your firstborn child.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I mean, I'm not going to say I don't display my own toys. I certainly do. You know, they're all over the office here. So I totally understand. All right. So is there a favorite toy that you wish you had made?
The girl. Just say that and move on. It's okay.
Yeah, it's probably Nagora.
Okay, funny. What is your current favorite toy? Can we go for a four-peat in this one?
No, I'll say Inu Harigon by Teresa Chiba.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
All right. And let's go with the last one. I know you've done a little bit of cosplay in the past. What are you going to be for Halloween this year?
So my friend, she's doing a costume party, and I don't usually dress up for Halloween because, I don't know, I just don't really care about, like, holidays that much. But she said that I can't get in without a costume. And first she was dressing up as Poison Ivy, so I was like, all right, maybe I'll be Harley. But then she said she returned her costume, and she's just going to wear, like, we bought R2-D2 and C-3PO like swimsuits a long time ago. And so she's going to wear her C-3PO one. So I was like, I guess I'll wear my R2-D2 one, but I don't know. I would be super cold. So we'll see if that's actually going to happen.
It's not so much a costume either.
No, it's not. I'll have to like wear shorts and leggings or something. Yeah, I'll figure it out.
Are we going to see this on your Instagram story?
Maybe.
All right, so that's it for our lightning round. Candy, okay. So you've been a listener, I think, from the get-go since this podcast started, and you've always been really kind and let us know, you know, things that you liked and whatnot. Do you have any advice for us or any sort of suggestions for topics or segments that you think we should do?
I don't know. I really like your podcast so far. I really liked it when you had Jeffrey Koe on. I thought that was like one of my favorite episodes. Yeah, I want to see more people from like different parts of the world. Yeah. You know? That was really interesting. I liked hearing his take on like how the toy market is in Singapore and stuff.
Yeah, the Le Fokker was good. He's, we've done a lot of stateside people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to see more people from Japan, but I totally understand why that's difficult. Like, not only the language barrier, but then the time.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure it out. We'll definitely make it work. That's a good suggestion. It's something that we definitely we're aware of, and something that we definitely need to do more.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Who do you hate on the show?
Is there no one?
Like, oh, I can't, that guy grates on me. I can't listen to him anymore.
No, I like listening to you guys. I listen to you when I'm airbrushing in my garage. I'm like always happy when you have a new episode out.
Oh, good. Every Monday. So far, so good. All right, Candy, we're going to let you off the hook. You've been great. Thanks for joining us. I learned a lot about you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, why don't you take a minute, let everyone know all the channels and social sites they can find you.
So you can find me on Instagram, Candy Bolton, and Twitter. I think that's also Candy Bolton, and my YouTube channel. Pretty sure it's Candy Bolton too. And my website, candybolton.com.
That's the way to do it. Keep it simple across all boards.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, thanks again for joining, Candy. And actually, before we started recording, you were telling me about a show that you're curating for February, so let's get you back on in January.
Okay.
All right, George, what about you?
At George Gaspar on Facebook, and there's links there to all my other stuff.
Okay, and I'm Gary Ham on Instagram, superham.com. Thanks again to Candy Bolton for joining us. This has been the Marsham Toy Hour. Until our next transmission, we're signing off. Bye.